Blog Talk Radio.
And his own story was as curious as his narrative. The tale of his life is the tale of a writer of incredible vision, an astute analyst and pundit, a lyricist compassionate and callous, a reckless hedonist, and disaffected malcontent.
I spit that wonder rhymes. Me and my conglomerates shall remain anonymous, caught up in the finest. Get that type of media coverage Obama get. Spit that Kurt Vonnegut, that blow your brain, Kurt Cobain, that Nirvana.
How's it going? What's going on, League? SFL? This is SFL Weekly. We are here with another installment on the line. I don't have anybody as of yet, but I'm expecting to hear from Q the Truth, who is the commissioner, Falcons owner. I'll be expecting to hear from Krim, who is the Panthers owner. Maybe even hear from Goins, if he's somewhere out there, not losing anymore. Not sure. But regardless, we're back. We're here with another installment. And as soon as I can get some callers in, we'll go ahead and kick this off. But in the meantime, at the moment, hold on, we got somebody. How can I? There it is. All right, you're online. Who is this? Is this Krim?
Yeah.
Yeah, what up, Krim? All right, so Krim,
what up?
This is the Panthers owner. Still waiting for the Falcons to log on and go ahead and sign in. But in the meantime, Krim, how is your season going for you? How do you feel like your team is going? How do you feel like everything is going for you? But hold on before you answer that. Hey, this should be Q, right?
Yeah, this is me.
I bet. All right, so I just got into it. Just ask Krim, who, for him right now, how's this team looking? How's it feel, the playoff run? Tell me about your team right now. We'll start with you, Krim, and then we'll go to you, Q.
So far, I guess it's been pretty solid. I mean, my team's been kind of middle of the pack as far as numbers go, but the only numbers I'm looking at are what's in the win column, and I've got 8 of those, and we're improving from last year, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay. How do you feel like your chances are without Kelvin Benjamin at the moment? Do you feel like you'll win out?
I wouldn't say I'll necessarily win out. I mean, I do have a favorable schedule going forward to the last 4 weeks. I can say that much, but yeah, I can't say I'll win all 4 games without Kelvin Benjamin just because he's such a big asset to our teams.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. What about you, Q, and them Falcons over there? How's your season going? How do you feel like it could have been? You know, tell us about it.
You strive for perfection, so you always feel like it would have been better or could have been better. With 6-6 right now, it's pretty tumultuous. We don't have any excuses. It is what it is. We are what our record says that we are. I do notice that I'm losing a little bit more than I usually do, and there's a lot of eyes in the chat, a lot of eye emojis and things of that nature. And it's all right. Comes with the territory.
Do you feel like a lot of this inconsistency, if we can call it, has to do with the Julio Jones injury at all?
I wouldn't say it's a huge reason why we're losing. It's more so me not doing what I normally do. Kind of gotten away from what I do schematically. I won't delve into that too deeply. But him playing a role in that, I mean, from the outside looking at it, it seems like that probably is the only reason. But if I had to choose, I would rather have Matt Ryan than Julio Jones. I would rather have an accurate quarterback any day of the week. I mean, there are still weapons around. We're just not getting it done right now. But right now, I don't have either one of them. So it's going to get fun.
Okay, but at the least, though, at least you get Julio Jones back this week for the ending stretch. And then assuming that you do make the playoffs, Looks like Matt Ryan will be able to join you the wild card game, I believe. So at least you'll get your firepower back at full force.
Yeah, well, right now the goal is to win out, so we'll see what happens.
All right, okay. All right, so the next thing we're going to do real quick, I want to run through what these award races look like. I'm going to run through both conferences real quick. So hold on, let me hurry up and get this up. Okay, so right now in the MVP race, I'll just go top three. I'm not going to go through everybody. Top three for the MVP race in the whole NFL right now, the SFL, we got Brock Osweiler in first. You got Carson Wentz in second, who is probably going to continue to slide because at first he was, I believe he was first place this past week. But with his suspension, I'm pretty sure he's going to slide as the next contender, Ryan Tannehill, continues to put up these gaudy numbers. But Brock Osweiler right now is the most efficient quarterback with the highest completion percentage. And I believe he has the highest or the best ratio quarter touchdowns to interceptions. So he might just run away with his MVP. For Coach of the Year, right now we have Chan on top of that as well. We have next after that, we have B, and then we have Rob. We'll go to the AFC, Offensive Player of the Year. Brock Osweiler's in first with Jarvis Landry and DeAndre Hopkins after that. Defensive Player of the Year, we got McKinney from Houston. We got Clowney, and then we got Vontaze Burfict over here. For Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, we got Taj Pittman from New England. We got Dillard Shabazz from Oakland. We got DJ Poindexter from Indianapolis. And then Defensive Rookie of the Year, we got Andrew McMillan, Jamal Knight from the Jets, and then we got Najee Burrows from the Titans. All right, so best quarterback, we got Brock Osweiler on top. Best running back, we got Lamar Miller. Best wide receiver, we got Jarvis Landry. Best OL, Joe Thomas. Best DL, J.J. Watt. Best linebacker, McKinney. Best DB, Jonathan Joseph from the Houston Texans. And then best kicker, also from the Texans, Randy Bullock. So it looks like the Texans may run away with a bunch of awards over there and get some very good coaching XP. For the NFC, we'll run through this real quick as well. We got Carson Wentz. On top of Offensive Player of the Year, then we got Jared Goff and then Drew Brees. Defensive Player of the Year, we got Lonnie Ballantyne, also for the Rams. Then we got Sean Lee, and then we got Daron Shepard, who was also from the Rams. And then we go to Offensive Rookie of the Year, we got Tyler Hurst, the league's leading running back rusher, the rookie. And then we got James Conner for the Buccaneers, who just had a crazy game against the 49ers. Joel Benoit, who's for the 49ers, who also had a crazy game against the Bucks. We'll probably go over that a little later. But Defensive Rookie of the Year, we got Tyrone Cherry from the Lions. We got Latavon Tatum from the Buccaneers and DeAndre Compton from the Falcons. Best quarterback, we'll just run through the top on these. Carson Wentz on top for the best quarterback. Best running back, Todd Gurley. Best wide receiver, Randall Cobb. Best OL, Tyron Smith. Best DL, Cornell McPhee. Yeah, man, Randall Cobb. Best linebacker, Sean Lee. Best DB, Lonnie Ballantyne. Then best kicker is Kyle Brinza from the 49ers. Okay, so with all that being said, from what you guys have just heard, are there any surprises? Are there any big-time games on there that you're just like... Yeah, Randall Cobb is the second leading receiver in the NFC in yardage, and I believe he has 8 touchdowns. So he's not doing too bad over there.
You know what? You're right. It's computer, Rogers. Never mind.
What about you, Krim? Is there any surprising names you heard or anything that's just like...
Not necessarily. I mean... I can't be surprised that Julio's not a top three best wide receiver because he's been injured. I mean, if he wasn't, he'd probably be up there. But other than that, it's not really any surprise.
Honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if he were not injured, if he were leading the league in receiving. But, yeah, like you said, due to the injury, it's, you know, that's a wash. I don't know how many yards he may have now, but 1,000 yards may be a little out of reach as well. depending on how this final stretch goes with this backup quarterback that the Falcons, that Q has. We'll see about that, though. All right. So the next thing I want to touch on. Yeah? All right. Well, we'll see about that. The next thing I want to touch on is this playoff race. Now, the playoff race is kind of crazy. We have a lot of teams that are still alive. Like, there's a handful of teams that are done for completely, Goins being one of them. But there's a lot of teams that have a lot to play for within these last few weeks. So right now, we'll go through the AFC playoff race according to DL and then the NFC afterwards. So the AFC, we have the Houston Texans with the 1 seed. We have the Bengals with the 2 seed. We have the Bills with the 3 seed. And then at this very moment, we have Denver with the 4 seed. And then with the 5 seed is the Chargers. And then the 6 seed is the Steelers. And then on the bubble,
just
the top 4 teams on the bubble are going to be Oakland, Miami, Jacksonville, and Cleveland. Those last two are surprises to me. The NFC playoff race, number one right now is the Rams, and it looks like they're probably going to lock that up with the win this week. After that, number two is going to be the Eagles. Number three is the Saints. Number four, the Bears. Number five, the Panthers. And number six is going to be the Cowboys. Now, on the bubble, we have the Redskins, Falcons, Giants, and Seahawks. Now, with the NFC, there's only a handful of teams that are really on the bubble. I'll say we have the Redskins, we have the Giants, who are technically still alive, even though they're kind of hanging on by a thread. We have the Panthers, we have the Falcons, and we, you know, maybe the Seahawks. But in the AFC, that's where things get kind of crazy. The AFC, we have the Buffalo Bills, we have Miami Dolphins, we have Cincinnati, we have Pittsburgh, we have Cleveland, we have Houston, we have Colts, we have the Jaguars, we have the Chargers, we have the Broncos, we have the Raiders. We have everybody except for 3 teams in the AFC who are still alive for the playoffs. Now, with that being said, I want to ask my two colleagues here, with that being said, who do you think in the AFC gets left out? And I'll start
with... You
want to
pick somebody?
Yeah, I'll pick somebody. I'll start with you.
Let's see. Chan is on in the midst of probably getting a perfect season. Rob basically has the 2 seed locked up. Ark and Clint look like they're both going to make it. It's matchups. I think in the end, it'll all go down to if Jack is going to play how he played earlier in the year, because he took some sim losses. He took 2 losses that I can remember to the Jets, and then 1 to Rob, and that was completely his fault. And the other ones, I think he took sim losses. So if up to him, it's between him and the Raiders. You can almost flip a coin at this point. Raiders are having trouble reading coverages, but he has Cooper back, so that can mask a lot of those problems. And Jack probably still has the best offense in the game. Whether or not he wants to utilize them is on him. So flip a coin with those guys. I think everybody else is dead in the water.
Okay. How about you, Krim? What do you think?
I'd probably have to go with the Raiders as well. I mean, looking at the schedule, they do have to play the Patriots, who will likely beat this week, but then they play Cincinnati, Houston, and LB in Buffalo. So those aren't easy games to win to close out your year. So, I mean, it's going to be kind of tough. You can win one, you end the season with 7 wins, more than likely, and that's not enough to get in.
That schedule is pretty
tough.
He might just go 1-3. This might be his last win of the year right here.
I noticed with these AFC guys, a lot of their schedules to end the year are extremely tough. I think Ark had a crazy schedule. I think he had to play LB. He has to play against Denver again. I think he has to play against KC, who has been his, you know, his least favorite to play. I think KC has given him the biggest challenge. And I forget who the last owner is, but Goins is the last owner. And Goins,
yeah.
I think he may be tanking, so that may be a free win.
But Art could also go 1-3, and if that's the case, that really does open up the door for the Raiders to go ahead and take that extra step into making the playoffs as well. And then, like you mentioned with Jack, you know, if Jack plays his games and he's playing like the beginning of the year when he started off like 5-1, then he's a shoo-in. But it's whether or not Jack is actually going to show up or not. That's the question, because he's taken three sim wins that come to mind off the top of my cranium. So I'm not even entirely sure about that. So, but I have to say this. I don't think you can discount what the Dolphins are doing, because Ryan Tannehill and Jarvis Landry have proven to be a very lethal combination. And I think whenever you have that pairing of just a great quarterback and a great wide receiver, I feel like you can accomplish so much in this league, especially when it comes to just creating those opportunities of scoring chances from anywhere on the field. I feel like Jarvis Landry has become one of those players where, dare I say, a button in some sense, because of the fact that he's just so dominant when it comes to receiving the football and then making plays after the catch. And this just comes from watching the interaction that I see Tannehill and Jarvis Landry have whenever they make completions and just things just start happening for the offense. I feel like the Dolphins' biggest Achilles heel, though, is the untimely turnovers and the sometimes porous defensive play. And so that's why Ryan Tannehill is having to throw so much, because the defense can't stop anybody. But all in all, though, it's a crazy race, and it's still anybody's game. I really truly do feel like we're not going to know the accurate picture for the AFC until the very last week, which will be fun for us. It'll be fun for you guys, but it'll be heartbreaking for some others. But all in all, it's been a crazy season. There's a lot of upsets, a lot of craziness happening in general. Now, let me ask you guys this. So with the playoff contenders, the ones that are set, we'll say the top four from each conference, who do you believe of those top four from the AFC and from the NFC are the strongest contender and the weakest contender? I'll start with you, Krim.
As far as strongest contenders, in the NFC, I'd probably say the Rams. I mean, they've been consistent all year long. They've had a top three offense and a top three defense more than likely for the entire season. So that's kind of tough to beat. I mean, they played solid football. Didn't turn the ball over too much. I mean, when I played them last, he kind of did in a sense, but even when he turns the ball over, he's making a turnover right after. So he gets the ball back, holds on to it, and he's probably my strongest contender in the NFC right now.
Okay, so what about the AFC?
AFC, you really can't go wrong with the Texans and Chan. I mean, the man hasn't lost a game yet. You can't really see him losing a game within the next 4 weeks, and playoffs. I mean, he's just going to continue to play the same games he's been playing, and kind of, it's not necessarily a cakewalk per se, but it's going to be tough to beat him.
Okay, okay. So what do you feel like are your weakest contender from the four division winners right now, or the four division leaders from the AFC?
In the NFC, I'd probably say Kale and the Saints. I mean, he's Kale and the Saints. Like, I can't really say much more than that, aside from him. He's 8-4. I'm tied at 8-4. I mean, he plays good football. I mean, we have good matches every time we take the field, but to have an 8-4 team like that, who is not necessarily the most consistent team, nor am I, but to try to hold on to that, where you have someone like myself chasing you and Truth, who has an easier schedule these next four games, you can easily run the table and push for that division crown as well. It's not an easy thing to kind of combat, and I just don't think he's able to do it.
Okay, okay. So what about from the AFC now?
In AFC, I mean, I'd probably go with one of the higher teams in that sense than with the Bengals. Dalton seems like he's kind of mediocre. He's not necessarily one of those guys who would hang on to the ball dominate an offense like that, and their defense isn't necessarily the strongest. I mean, the middle-of-the-pack defense, they're not great, they're not bad. That can kind of be the deciding factor in a playoff game.
Mm. I see somebody woke over here. All right, Q, floor is yours. What about you? Strongest, weakest contender, both AFC and NFC?
I'll start weakest, and I'll start AFC. You've got to say it's whoever is in the AFC West right now. They're killing one another. And outside of that, they aren't really too good, not to be disrespectful or anything like that, but they're all basically hovering over 500. So you can take your pick, Broncos, Chargers, and I know the Raiders are currently on the bubble, but they can still win that division too. Like, that's a coin flip. NFC, well, he's right. It's probably Kale. Because the Bears have a cakewalk right now. But and here's the case for Bryce. Wentz will be gone a couple of games, but he's going to make the playoffs anyway. He might not finish with the division crown because he has two teams that are, like, literally one game behind or a half game behind and things of that nature. As far as strongest in the AFC, hey, let's keep it 100. It's Chan's division. Like, it's his conference. Until somebody can, you know, dethrone Chan, it's his. He was the representative for the Super Bowl last year. LB and Rob have already lost to him this year. And those are the, you know, 2 and 3 seeds respectively behind him. So, it's him. Rob, by product of defeating LB, who has kind of almost come unglued, is the 2 seed. But in the NFC, because of the uncertainty with the Eagles right now, like, I want to say that he's won, but he's lost to the Rams, who have a much better record right now. But Eagles are the defending champion. So, I don't know. Either him or the Rams. Like, you can't go wrong either which way. I think when Wentz comes back, he'll start playing the football that we're accustomed to seeing. So, that's my take on that.
Okay. All right. And my picks are very similar to you guys' picks. I would say, first of all, I'm going to go strongest AFC. The strongest AFC is Chan. That's easy. As you said, Chan's played against both the Bengals and the Bills, and he's defeated them both. I feel like when that's the case, whenever your next two best teams you've defeated and you're undefeated, there's no contest there. The strongest in the NFC is going to be the Rams. I feel like the loss they took to the Redskins, that was a hard-fought battle. Both owners are very familiar with one another's gameplay, so it was one of those kind of toss-up games, records not mattering. But other than that, B has been dominating all of his opponents. The only real challenge besides that Redskins game I've seen has been the Eagles, and the Eagles would probably be my second pick, but with Wentz being out, you know, you kind of get used to how you're playing with this other quarterback that you have, and then you kind of forget how, like, the other quarterback that's better than him comes back in and plays, and so you kind of, like, downplay yourself. So he may not even be the very best Eagles team when Wentz comes back, because he's got to adjust right now, then he's got to adjust right back, and that's going to happen right when playoffs start. So Bryce, if he's not careful, he could end up getting the first round L, and I wouldn't even be surprised. But I would say weakest team, the weakest contender in the AFC, yeah, it's going to be Clint right now. Just because I've seen a lot of questionable things, like Von Miller lined up at defensive end instead of staying at his linebacker spot, that was kind of questionable. He's not solid. The offense over there stinks. The defense, though, is autopilot. So really, the only thing I feel like that's keeping him going right now is that defense. And then him getting Chris Harris back should help, but I still think that defense is going to have to do a lot more work than the offense, and that's never the best formula when it comes to SFL football to win games and whatnot. But for the NFC, yeah, I'm going to agree with you guys and say Kale. I played against Kale earlier in the year. I'm no excuses, of course. I lost. I lost by 3. But at the time, there were some limitations that I was having But overall, from what I could see, pun intended, I was not impressed with his gameplay. I mean, I know he has Brandon Cooks who does some major play, you know, makes major plays. He does his thing. But when I played him, Cooks was shut down. And really and truly is a lot of, you know, just lucky plays that happened. But overall, I feel like the Eagles are going to be good. I feel like the Rams are going to be good. You know these Bears are going to be good. So, I don't know. We'll see what Kale's up to. But he may not even have the division lead for much longer. So, we'll see what happens with that. But for the AFC, yeah, that's it. So, those are my picks right there. So, what we'll do now is, as we close down the show, we'll go ahead and hand the microphone off to Q. He's got a few things to discuss with the league. So y'all go ahead and listen in. Q, floor is yours.
All right, cool. It's never easy to get 32 people to agree on one thing or be on the same page, and that's pretty much what's happening here. Basically, what we're trying to do is get everybody on the same page to the best of our abilities. Now, as admins, can we do a better job of that? I would like to think that we can. So going forward, we're going to try and do that. But on you guys, the players, the owners in the league, the coaches, it's still up to you to follow the rules. And above all else, if you have someone of influence or power, like an admin or a commissioner per se, tell you something, then more times than not, it's in the best interest of the league. So with that being the case, this is basically me letting you know what's been happening, particularly with the Bryce situation. As you may or may not know, he had his quarterback suspended, and normally when we have suspensions or dole out suspensions, we normally go for either person who was the guilty, you know, party in that particular instance, or we suspend them, or you know, said player where it hurts or whatever. And we chose Wentz. Case in point was because, long story short, there was a gray area that he created so that he can continue to score within the allotted time frame after I myself had told him to just run the clock out and get the game over with. With that being the case, Wentz was suspended, and it's really pointless, but I'll say it anyway. I don't have any ill will or malice toward Bryce. I'm not out to get him. I'm not out to get anybody. I would like for everybody to play and get along, and that's not always going to be the case because some people are trolls and things like that. Some people can't see that. So I'm going to try and pull back the reins on the trolling and everything and just get back to the point where we're having a lot of fun. You know, so with that being said, the companion app is out. And very buggy. I'll say, like, this is the first time when we advanced where I was able to basically sync it with DL immediately after. There's usually bugs and flaws with it and things of that nature. So the tighter the rollout begins where they fix the bugs and everything like that, the smoother everything else will be as far as advancing, getting people put on auto and things of that nature, because it's really handy. And I think all of you guys who in the league don't have it should get it. Because if you're not available to play your game or you won't make it in time, just from your phone, you can put yourself on auto. You know what I mean? Or you can do trades and things of that nature. And from an admin's perspective, we're able to export the stats to the third-party site, which is Daddy Leagues, get everything up there as clean and as smooth as possible so everybody can enjoy it. Because there's been a few times where we advanced and I'll probably waste 45 minutes of my life trying to sync the stats and it's not working for a myriad of reasons. I mean, it happens, but it's getting better. So just have patience with that. As we go on, down the final stretch in the last quarter of the season. I want to say best of luck to everybody. Definitely, this is probably one of the more enjoyable playoff races I've seen in quite some time, probably because I'm in the thick of things, Pulse. But best of luck to everybody going forward. Please don't do anything that will get you suspended. And that's everybody, you know. Aside from that, somehow, someway, Austin lost to the computer 49ers. That was really debilitating. And, you know, that's about that.
Man. Yeah. Taking a loss like that, man, that's – I don't know.
He gave up 60 points to a 68 overall team, though.
Man, but to piggyback off of everything Q's saying, man, this has been a very enjoyable season for many reasons for a lot of different people. Yeah, just don't do anything stupid. Just play your games the way you're supposed to. Don't create any gray areas, especially not this time of the season when, you know, people are vying for their playoff positions, because then things are going to get a lot more personal, a lot more heated. And, you know, things get a lot more complicated, and then we have to deal with a whole lot more. So just play within the rules. And just go out there and just have fun, man. Just play your games and have fun. That's all I'm asking for. But we're going to go ahead and close down this show.
Hold on. One second, Steps. Is Lee trying to call you? Because he's messaging me saying he wants a word.
Oh, okay, hold on. Yep, hold on. I got somebody on the line. Let's see. This is him. All right. Hey, is this Lee?
Lee called in now.
I don't think this is Lee. Who is this?
That sounds like Bryce.
Is this Bryce?
Oh, what? I'm in here. Okay. I mean, I didn't need to be in here.
I don't know. Lee messaged
Bryce
in regards to
the
show.
Yeah, this is Bryce.
Well, Bryce, since you're on the line, man, you got any parting shots?
I mean, NFC East going strong still. Best division in the league. Overall, and team-wise.
Not true.
Well, record-wise. Gabbert's going to lead me to the playoffs. He's all went to going through his
arguably
prediction
right,
period. I don't think I have anything else to say, though.
All right, well, thank you for joining us, Bryce. All right.
How does Lee message me saying he wants to get a word in of hate on the show? And Lee, if you're listening, I legitimately hate you.
I mean, I'm looking at my caller list, and I got only one caller, and it happens to be Bryce, not Lee.
Hey,
I don't know what that was about, man.
Hey, Steps, to kind of piggyback off what Bryce just said, right? How about we have Krem explain why the NFC South better than the NFC East?
Krim, the floor is yours.
I mean, first thing, we don't have Gomes. So that's a plus.
I second that.
Major key.
And, I mean.
You can just take shots. It don't even really matter. Like,
yeah, I mean, we don't have Gomes. So that's a plus.
Don't have
we do have Kale, so I guess that's still better than Gomes, regardless. But the NFC South has to be the best division in the NFC, and probably even the entire league, because it's got the Panthers in it. It's got the Falcons in it. It's got Kale in it. Hitman's still pretty solid, even though his record don't show. I mean, it's probably – the records might not show it, but we're probably one of the most competitive divisions in the league within each other.
You know, if I had to really truly make my pick, man, I would also pick the NFC South. It's in terms of competitive, like it being competitive, I'll definitely pick the NFC South over all the other divisions. All right. But let's go ahead and close down the show. Q, Krim, y'all got any parting shots, anything like that?
Yeah, why not? Fuck it. I still think the best player in the NFC East has not won the division yet. You know, that would be the Indians. I think he's kind of finding his way. And it's only a matter of time before all this stuff gets figured out. I don't know. It's like, you know, the universe and the world is round and it balances itself out. I think my division is pretty cool. Krim has kind of gotten his shit together. I think he'll tell you that. But I think he has more pressure on him than at any time in, you know, since he's been here. So it's on him to close the deal. As we speak, Jay Millie wants to go on auto, but I'm begging him to play. So it looks like we'll be playing. But pay attention. And don't slip up, Quinn. And you either, Kel. And Kel, actually, I'll see you again in a few weeks. We definitely going to make this fun. It's going to be a goddamn
It's going to be interesting. I got to play Kel next week and then week 17, so that's going to be interesting.
So make sure you win that game. You know, do what you got to do. I already split with you. And then once I win versus him, we'll see what happens.
Hopefully nothing stupid.
Julio's also
yeah, we'll see what
happens. Man.
The One True Destroyer is back.
This is true. All right, with that, I think I'm done.
All right, what about you, Krim? You got anything for us?
Nah, I'm done.
All right. Well, last thing I got is the week has been advanced. If you guys haven't seen already, so go ahead and get your games out there. I'm looking forward to seeing some more tough and very competitive matchups as the playoffs come around the corner. But with that, this is SFL Weekly. This is me, Steps, a.k.a. the Bears owner. You got Krim, Panthers owner.
Go hard.
Q, the Falcons owner, a.k.a. the Commissioner.
Okay.
And we are out. See y'all.
Jersey.